So let's ask some questions this morning. I like for us to ask ourselves questions. This is how we find out about ourselves. But is it possible, and I'll just go ahead and say, yeah, it's possible. But is it possible, I want you to ask yourself this question, that we as believers, how are there times and how many times in our life that we live here upon this earth do we deny Christ? Now, I want you to think about that a little bit this morning. How many times do we fail to acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior? And how many times do we remain silent in our faith because we might be ashamed or we might be desiring something of the world to accept us, and because of that, we don't announce our faith in Jesus Christ? Now, you might say as a believer that, well, we really don't do that, but I can tell you more often than not, we do it. And a lot of times we do it unconsciously. So here's what, when rejecting and denying Christ or when we neglect to stand in the truth of God's word, it is an opportunity for the sinful pleasures of the world to move in, and now we are no longer being obedient to the word of God. So we're having a temporary because God's going to bring us back, but now we're having a temporary failure in our faith. And when this happens and we have this failure in our faith, we are no longer trusting in God to help us through all the things that he helps us with in our life. So here, God, when we begin to study and when we begin to follow after his word, God is going to continually give us or show us that hope. Not that I hope to, but my hope. My hope is always in my salvation. Your hope is always in your salvation, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And God's desire, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here, and I want you to write them down, but God's desire is that no one will perish, that everyone will come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So God wants us to embrace the truth of the gospel and be saved. That's what God wants for us. And all that we have to do is we've got to quit denying Him, okay? In our life, we got to quit denying Him, and we've got to continue to trust and believe in His saving grace. This is what our life here upon this earth is all about. You know, sometimes we think it's about understanding this or understanding this, but our life is about salvation. Because God wants everybody to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So in 2 Peter, I'm going to give you a couple of verses here that you can jot down, because this is really important for us to understand that we're not just going through this life making these things up. This is what God wants for us in our life. So in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, here's what he says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. You know, everything that God gives us through his word, it's a promise and it's a commandment. It's a promise that he'll do it, and it's a commandment that we need to follow after. So he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, and he is not willing. Underline that. He is not willing that any should perish, but that everybody should come to repentance. This is what God wants for us. This is his genuine desire for it. Now, we sometimes say, well, we would like to see everybody saved before Christ comes and takes the church back. But is it our genuine desire? No, if it was, there wouldn't be a moment in our life that we wasn't talking to somebody about salvation, especially our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our kids. This is what God desires for us. So this is why he gave us this responsibility. In 1 Timothy, jump back with me to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, here's what he says. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Here's what he says. Who will have all men to be saved. Now, not just to be saved. We live in a world now that everybody's talking about God and how good God is and salvation. And we want people saved. But we don't end it right there. He said, everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth of that salvation. See, we live our life here upon this earth saved, never understanding our salvation. God wants us to understand. He wants us to know, why does he have this desire for us to come to salvation, to come to his saving grace? So God wants us to understand that in our life. Now, only as believers, nobody else could ever dare come to understand this, can we come to understand. So we're living in a time, we talked about this in Sunday school class, didn't we, young ladies? We talked to, when we don't know when Christ is coming back. So we can understand that God is delaying his judgment in order to give us more time to come to know the truth. Now, why, if he's delaying it to give us more time, then what are we doing? What is our part in that? Where are we picking up the responsibility to do what it is that God wants us to do? So since it's his longing that we're all saved, he does this by showing forth his love, his grace, his mercy towards us, because it's his desire that we would have experience salvation and not judgment. So every day in our life, you're going to experience one of two things. You're either going to experience your salvation that come from God, or you're going to experience judgment because of disobedience that comes from God. God would rather we experience the salvation. So that means that every day we must see every day as an opportunity. We must see it as a gift from God to move away from the sinful, lustful desires that we live in and turn toward God. Meaning, quit denying the salvation. Quit denying the power thereof that God gives unto us. So one of the things that we understand, but we forget sometimes, so we have to be reminded of this, is God, yes, he is a patient God. We're thankful God is a patient God. We are not a patient people. But, there's always a but, this time of grace that we live in, this grace dispensation period that we live in, it is not intended to last forever. It could end before we leave the building today. So it is not intended to last forever. He has designated this time. He has designated it for repentance. He has designated it for a time of hope in our life. He has designated it for a time of restoration. He has designated it for a time of forgiveness. Because he would rather see all of these things happening so that we would not have to experience destruction. So God has allowed this in our life for a reason. So we're going to turn to the book of Matthew. Turn there with me. And we're going to look at an example of this. And since we're leading up to the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection, we're taking the example from that time period out of the Bible. And we're going to just see what it means to, or what happens when we deny Christ or deny the power thereof. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, starting with verse 31. Chapter 26, starting with verse 31. And here's what he says. Then Jesus said unto them, he's talking to his disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me. Now, when he's talking to the disciples, of course, the disciples represent the church or the body of Christ. So he says, all ye shall be offended because of me. Now, you'll find out a little bit Peter said, oh, Lord, I'll never be offended. But and you might say, oh, I'll never be offended. I guarantee you, you have. Well, all of thee will be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I'll never be offended. Peter's first lie. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me how many times? So your offense isn't a one and done. Lord, I learned my lesson, I'm done. We live a lifetime of offenses to God. You understand that? We live that in our life. So he said, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, meaning I'll die for you, Lord, yet will I not deny thee. And it said, and all the other disciples said the same thing. Lord will never, ever deny you. So what is it that happens in our life or takes place around us? What is it that happens that causes us to deny? What is it that happens that causes us, first of all, to be offended and then to deny the power thereof? It's because, see, we have expectations as we live our life here upon this earth. We all have expectations of how we want to live our life here upon this earth. The problem is our expectations do not follow after God's actions. We do not follow after his spirit-driven purpose for our life. And so this means that because of disappointments, because of trials, because of tribulation, you know, our expectations don't cover any of those things. Our expectations don't cover the trials, the tribulations, the sickness, when we fall prey to deception and we sin. Our expectations don't cover those things. But God knows those things are going to happen in our life. So these are all spiritual hurdles now that we've built up in front of us. And the higher the spiritual, pretty soon you can't jump over it. All right? So all you're going to do is what? You're going to run into it. So these spiritual hurdles that we're building up in our life, then they begin to take away our confidence in God. They begin to take away our trust in the Lord. Now they're hindering our relationship with the Lord. And now it's bringing all of this discontent and discouragement in our life. And the first thing you know, we're telling somebody, we are going through this. I don't know why God has allowed me to go through this. So you just denied him. And so on. And it just, the ball just keeps rolling on. So we've got to learn how to allow God to work in our life to overcome these things in our life. So Paul, when he was talking to Timothy, turn back with me to Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy this time. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. And here's what he says. All of us, we have a form of godliness, but we're denying the power thereof, the power that is within. He said, you got to learn to turn away from that stuff in your life. You got to learn to put that stuff aside so that we can live by that form of godliness. So here's what is happening. So as individuals, we have a responsibility. Y'all know that when you were saved, you took on a responsibility. And sadly, we are not holding up to our end of the responsibility. But we took on this responsibility. So it's all of us. We're all included. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say me. I'm going to look at my life. Here's how I see this in my life. I am maintaining an appearance of godliness, but when you read this verse of Scripture, I am not allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to uphold within me the life-changing ability that God wants for me to live in my life. We all have that label on us, okay? Every one of us have that label on us. We're maintaining it, but we're not living it. So God wants me to live it so he can continue to transform my life, transform my character, transform my behavior so that I'm not just going through the motions of my faith and I'm not and I'm not just a reflection of that righteousness, but I am that righteousness. You know, when Christ died upon the cross, he said, I died so that I might pay your sin debt, and so that once you have accepted me, I might be able to give you my righteousness, so that God the Father and you can now communicate together, show you what your responsibility is. So when I am not doing this, now I am distancing myself from my relationship with God. Doesn't matter that I preach two times a week. Doesn't matter that we hold Bible study three or four times a week. Doesn't matter that we do this or we do that. You can do all that and still be distancing yourself from your relationship with God. So God was trying, Christ was trying to explain this to Peter. And when you read about Peter, why was he distancing his relationship with Christ? Because he was afraid he was going to have to change something in his life that he didn't want to change. And a lot of times, this is why we distance ourselves from God, because we don't want to make the change in our life that God wants us to make. Because I am happy with who I am, but God wants me to change. So if you back up into Matthew, he said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. So there should be no mistake in our life in Christ that there's going to be many times, many, many times, and there's going to be various circumstances and offenses that's going to take place, and we are going to deny Christ. But we are not going to admit that we denied Christ. Peter didn't admit it. He said, I'll die for you, but I will not deny you. So, like Peter, the intentions that we have, the intentions of our expectations for how we're going to serve the Lord, they we might see them as being admirable. We might see them as even being commendable. And we might see them as being something worthy to be praised, but they're not always credible. Because we're not serving God. We are not demonstrating as we serve God the obedience that he wants us to demonstrate in our life. So that means we need restoration. We need our hope renewed. We need these things. We need God to come into our life and to show us those things, to take a good look at ourselves so that we might examine ourselves and say, Lord, what is it that you want for me in my life? Let's go to John. John chapter 5. I'm going to give you the best example that I can give you of how to do this. In John chapter 5, verse 30. Write this verse down or mark it. This is the best example I can give you. He said, Christ himself said, I can of mine own self do what? Nothing. The first thing that we have to admit to in our life in Christ, I cannot do nothing on my own. If we say, Lord, today I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, you know, sometimes God will say, oh, go ahead and try it. But we have to say, Christ said, I can do nothing of my own self. But he said, as I hear, so we have to listen to what the word of God says to us, and judge, my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but I seek the will of the Father who hath sent me. So we have to learn to align our actions with God's will. And our judgments, and I'm not talking about judging somebody else. I'm talking about judgments as how we judge to make the choices and the decisions that we live by in our life, our expectations. If they're only ours, then they only involve our worldly emotional reactions, how we react to something when it happens in our life. So when I get sick, how many of you, when you get sick, you want somebody to baby you? And when I get sick, nobody else has been as sick as me, right? Okay, so it's because our choices or our expectations are based upon our worldly emotional reactions, and this, it is not spiritually productive in our life, and never will be. So here, let me explain to you how this worked. God gave us, meaning all of mankind, when he created Adam and right on down through, God gave us the ability to make our own judgments, to make our own choices and decisions that we live by. So here is why God gave us these. Now, we don't follow by this. God gave us this opportunity or this responsibility, but it was based upon how obedient we were going to be to him. Do you understand that, what I'm saying? When he gave you the opportunity to make the choices for your life, he said, I'm going to give you this opportunity, but I'm going to base it upon how obedient you are to my word, to me, or to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, to live by the promises and the commandments that I've put forth for you to live by. And the only way that we can do this is by following after the example of Christ and submitting to the will of God, because he is the only one. He is the only one that was born upon this earth as a man and lived his life, made his choices based upon the obedience of God and his word. He is the only one. So we want to follow after that example. Anything and everything else in our life is going to be judged accordingly. Now listen to this, because if God gave you this opportunity and he based it upon how well you were going to be obedient to his word, and were not obedient to his word, you are going to be judged by that same word. So the word that we can live by is also the word that we're going to be judged by. So how important is the word? It's the most important thing we can have in our life, because we're either going to live by it or we're going to be judged by it. One of those two things every day in our life. So that's why he said, I cannot do nothing of my own self. I can only do what God the Father tells me to do. And I live by that. I make my choices based upon my obedience to the Word of God. Or in our case, we make choices a lot of times based upon our disobedience to the Word of God. Those are the judgments that we live by. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go to 1 Peter. I'll move along quickly here. 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting with verse 6. Here's what he says. So therefore, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So he says, resist this. Resist this, stay steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you're not going through nothing that somebody else isn't already going through. These afflictions, and this is why our responsibilities and our choices and the decisions we make are so important, because the things that you might be going through today, you might help somebody else go through them tomorrow. If we were obedient to the Word of God. So he said, "The God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory, after you have suffered a while," okay? Because of our disobedience, we are going to suffer. But he said, it'll make you perfect. It'll establish you. It'll strengthen you. It'll settle you in your life in Christ. So yes, because of our denial, there's going to be persecutions. But God works through that in our life. So because we have received the gospel of his salvation and we have been sealed with the promise of his Holy Spirit, then we should be able to see these things in our life the way God sees them. We should be able to see them as things that are purposeful in our life. Do you know when you deny God, when I deny God, even though we've denied him and we don't like it, he has a purpose for it. And he'll use it for his own purpose and his own glory if we'll allow him to do so in our life. Everything has a purpose. Romans chapter 5. Last scripture I'll read. Romans chapter 5. Starting with verse 1. So he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," or since we claim we've been justified by faith, "then we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, we should read that verse together and out loud. Do you know, and we don't claim to this, but do you know when you were saved, when you accepted that saving grace of Jesus Christ, these promises that God made to us, we in turn made the promise that we would follow them. So there should be no time in our life, since we are justified by faith, there should be no time, and I'm sure it happened to me already this morning, but there should be no time in our life that we don't have peace with God, because we got that through Christ Jesus. So, how was your morning?
Pretty good.
Turmoil? Aggravation? Did you get angry? Impatient?
No.
Huh? Where was your peace of mind?
In my mind.
Any of those things? You broke your promise to God. And when you broke your promise to God, you denied him. Okay, you understand that, right? Sometimes this is hard for us to take these things in because we don't want to take these things in. But he said, "By whom also," okay, so what, we still have access by our faith in the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory, now listen to this part, I'm underlining this part in your Bible. We glory in our tribulations. Lord, I am so happy to be going through this in my life. Is anybody with me?
Yeah.
Also knowing, and here's why, knowing that my tribulation is going to work patience. And patience is going to give me experience. And this experience is going to help my hope in my salvation to grow. And he said, "This hope will maketh not ashamed," meaning the greater my hope, the less I deny. Because the greater my hope, the stronger my relationship is with God. The stronger my relationship is with God, the less I deny God. The less I allow the offenses of the world. How many of you see something going on in the world and you're offended by it? The first thing happens is you're offended by it. You just denied God. Because instead of being offended by it, you should have went to God with it and asked Him to give you or in some enlightenment on those things that are taking place in our life. So he says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Because when you were saved, the Holy Ghost came and dwells within you. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we see, so we always say God's love is unconditional when it is. But it's not just an unconditional love. God's love is a love that anticipates everything in our life. It anticipates if we're spiritually strong or if we're spiritually weak. It anticipates if we're deserving or undeserving. See, this is all what God's love is about. So God's love, unlike our own worldly emotion of love, it's not just a reaction to a situation, because every situation that takes place in our life, around our life, doesn't matter, in somebody else's life, God already knows about it. See, our love or lack of love is a reaction to what is happening around us in our life. God's love is not. It is intentional. God's love is an intentional act of His mercy and His grace. Now, you might not always see it because you're not feeling it. But we're not feeling it because we're not, our relationship isn't where it should be with the Lord. So His love is the foundation that helps us to understand the entirety of our salvation. Everything that God has in store for us in our life, through His love, He will help us to understand that. And also, He will encourage us. You know, a lot of times, because we make poor decisions, we run toward the offenses instead of allowing God to move us away from and go around these offenses. Because He knows, like He did with Peter, soon as the offense comes, we're going to deny Him. But God would rather avoid that in our life. So He moves us away from the offenses back into the promises and the commandments of His word. Because when we're standing firm in the word of God, we're not denying Christ. We're working on strengthening our relationship in Christ. So that, you know, when you deny Christ, that's an affliction to your spiritual growth in the Lord. That keeps us from growing the way God wants us to grow in our life. So, and what happens is when we see that in our life, God allows that affliction to bring restoration. But only if we see it. But only if we can go to the Lord and understand what it is that's happening in our life. And when we talk about restoration, you don't restore something that is already good. Peter couldn't be restored before he denied Christ, but he could be after he denied Christ. So we know if God is restoring us in our life, we denied Him somewhere along the way, because restoration only comes after denial. So to answer the question that we started with, do you deny Christ? Will you continue to deny Christ? Is it something that's a part of your life every day?
Yeah.
Sure. It is. But we can either allow it to hinder us in our relationship with God, or we can accept the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance to allow it to strengthen our relationship with God so that we might grow in the things that He has in store for us in our life. We want to mature in the Lord. We want to be restored daily in our salvation. We want to show others what that saving grace is all about, because our time here upon this earth is not a guaranteed time. And we need to live our life in a manner that reflects our time that we have left to live here upon this earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're very thankful. Lord, this time that you have given us, we're very thankful for it. Lord, we're very sorry and repentant that we haven't used it wisely. But we would just pray this day, Heavenly Father, as we move forward in our life with you, that you would help us to see those times in our life that we are offended and deny you, Heavenly Father. Lord, that we would allow your Holy Spirit to move us in another direction, Lord, so that we can be living a life of restoration, a life that other people may see the goodness of your salvation, Lord, so that no matter when you come, we're prepared and ready, Heavenly Father, to accept your coming. And we just pray this day, Lord, that you would give us the strength and the power, Lord, to move forward in our life with you, Heavenly Father. Lord, to hear your word, to live according to your will, Lord, and not our own. To show others, Heavenly Father, what a life with you truly means to us. To show your love, Heavenly Father, to each and every one that you allow us to come in contact with. We just pray this day, Lord, that as we receive your word, Heavenly Father, into our hearts, help us, Lord, to live by the promises and the commandments of your word, so that we might always be found doing those things that are pleasing unto thee, showing others your good work through us. Heavenly Father, once again, forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
You have a song?
375.
375. Let's stand. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, if you're here, you have a need or a burden, we invite you to come. Pray to God. He's the one that can take care of it.
Thank you.
Did you say 375?
Morning, while they're passing that out, we're going to take our scripture from the book of Mark. Thank you. The book of Mark, chapter 14. I'm going to read you a couple verses while they're passing that out. And it said, "In the evening he cometh with 12, and as they sat down and eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me." And once he said that, they begin to be sorrowful. They begin to humble themselves. And they begin to look at one another and ask the question, "Is it I?" And another one would say, "Is it I?" And he answered and said unto them, "It is one that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, that is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good it were that man if he had never been born." You know, sometimes we just need to ask the Lord, "Is it I?" That's the only way that we get to a place in our life that we can be humbled to the point that God can use us, is by saying, "Lord, is it I?" And you know, the good thing about God is When you ask Him, is it I? He won't lie to you like I would.
Right.
Or like you would lie to yourself. He'll be truthful with you. Just like He was with His disciples. And His truthfulness is meant to bring restoration. So if you all stand with me this morning, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And He said unto them, "This is the blood of my New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God." This is our expectation of the coming of God. So this morning, I'm going to ask that somebody would volunteer to pray over communion. Let's bow our heads.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You, Lord, with thanksgiving and praise, Lord. We just thank You, Lord, for Your body that You gave for us upon the cross. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace. We just pray, Lord, that we can always remember, Lord, how much You gave up for us. We know that we are not worthy, Lord, but through the blood that You shed for us, Lord, You make us worthy. We just give You praise, honor, and glory, Lord, for the sacrifice that You gave for our salvation. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. She's going to start the song, but let me tell you, I was going to ask Debbie to pray. Go ahead. Thank you. Debbie, you want to lead us in song?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Everybody ready? Praise the Lord.